Good evening, brethren. I'm privileged to share a portion of God's Word this evening and thank this good church for the opportunity. I know I don't come out here quite often, but when I do, I take advantage and I appreciate the opportunities when I get them. This evening, I'd like to talk about how we should try to not allow infirmities and problems to get in our way of serving our Father in heaven. To strive to not let these problems and these infirmities stop us from being faithful Christians. And I'd like to see what God's Word teaches with regards to how we can improve in our services to God by battling these struggles that come in our way that can stop us and hinder us. As we know, sometimes infirmities and problems come in a variety of ways in our lives. And sometimes some folks see these problems as small, but to others, those same problems that we see as small are very large and hard to tackle and fight with. And they sometimes hinder their service to God. Job 14, verse 1 says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." And sometimes looking at this verse, we can answer the question that some people have, and some people ask this question: why is this problem happening to me? Why do I have this infirmity? Why do I have this difficulty to tackle with? We'll have these struggles at one time or another in our lives, and that's simply because we're alive. We're among the living. And in life, struggles will come our way. And it's a matter of how we handle these struggles on whether or not we're going to be able to be faithful to do God's service. Although living with problems and infirmity can be a difficult task, we should remember and find comfort in God's promises in His Word. And God promises that to His true Christian disciples, He'll help them with regards to those sufferings and those difficulties, because those sufferings and difficulties will only be temporary. They are not permanent. Of course, sometimes people just focus on the life that we're living in right now without thinking that there is more to come than just the life we're living in right now. There's much more to come in the future, and that's why we need to make proper preparations with regards to fighting these problems and these infirmities when they get in our way of serving God. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." So Jesus is telling us that we are to believe in Him, just like we believe in God. And Jesus came and set that plan of salvation for us, for that second coming, for that day of judgment. And we can find relief and comfort in knowing that there is more to come and just these troubles and infirmities that get in the way. There are good things, not just bad. And we should focus on those as well. Many times when we focus so much on our own problems or infirmities, we make things worse for ourselves at the same time. We make those problems grow bigger than what they really are by focusing and worrying so much about them. And so when we focus on encouraging others perhaps to overcome their problems, withstand their infirmities, we look at their problems and see ours as smaller, not as significant as we thought they were from the get-go. And so we're to focus on that instead. And the Apostle Paul, who was an expert in overcoming struggles, he focused on encouraging others to overcome and withstand instead of focusing on his own problems and infirmities as a sense to want to give up, as some do. Some take those problems and get them to a growth, to a point to where they say, well, there's no hope. I'm just going to give up serving God. I'm going to give up and just quit and not struggle anymore, not try and overcome. And so we need to try and remember that there's more to it. If we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we see an account of the Apostle Paul being very thankful to God for the growing faith and love that the Thessalonian church showed. And he was proud and greatly encouraged himself with the good example that the Thessalonian church set in preserving and persevering, of course, and growing instead of going the opposite way with their struggles, their difficulties. If we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, it reads, "For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." And so we're reminded that although we might not currently see relief from our difficulties and infirmities right now, we'll truly find that relief in the day of judgment to come. There's more to look forward to. So we'll be vindicated, we'll be rewarded for our efforts in doing God's will, in staying firm and not letting those struggles, those difficulties, those infirmities stop us from being faithful to God's work. And just like our life on this earth is temporary, so are the problems and infirmities. They'll be temporary as well. They won't haunt us in that day of judgment as well when we move on. Lord willing, if we're faithful, we'll be seeking that reward and not that punishment. So we must take advantage of that 24 hours a day, those 7 days a week that we all have access to, and try and be faithful to God by doing his will versus our will instead. By trying to choose to do that which is good. Trying to perhaps evangelize instead of maybe saying, well, I'm just going to watch this TV show instead. Or trying to say, well, let me study God's word to see what he says in this subject versus choosing to do something else that's possibly not as important. Surely probably not as important. So we try and seek to do God's will. And this requires effort on our part to not let our problems and infirmities stop us from serving our Father in heaven. Perhaps one of our problems and infirmities that can stop us from serving Father in heaven can be those physical sufferings that come from our daily living, chronic sicknesses that sometimes come to those that perhaps are struggling with their health. Sometimes material problems come in the way. Sometimes marital problems come in the way. And we are to not let these problems discourage us to the point to where we give up on being faithful to God's will, being faithful to his work. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 shows an account of Jesus being moved towards compassion. He had compassion towards those that struggle with ailments, with heartaches, with problems in life. And he showed compassion in Matthew 14:14, and an account of Jesus being moved towards compassion and healing many sick within that great multitude. And I point out that he healed them not only because the Bible teaches that the majority of the miracles we see there that were done by Jesus were so that people can recognize that he was the true Son of God, so that we can believe in him and his gospel. He also had compassion towards those who were suffering with infirmities, with problems. And he showed his compassion towards them by healing some and by helping others with their difficulties. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 reads, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." And Jesus was truly capable to understand our difficulties, our struggles, our heartaches, our sicknesses, because he was fully human and fully divine at the same time. And he can be able to interact with us in that sense. Christ can relate to our struggles because he was also fully human. He knows our hearts just like God the Father knows our hearts. He knows our struggles, our ailments, our problems. His persecution that you receive, we're persecuted too. He can relate to that as well. His rejection, the rejection we get sometimes when we share the gospel with others, Jesus can interact. He can relate with what we go through. And so we can have that trust in knowing that he does what's best for us. In fact, he does what's best to the point to where he came and sacrificed his life, allowing us to find that forgiveness of sin, because he understood, just like his Father understood, that we're in dire need of forgiveness of our sins. Why? Because sin separates us from God. And he understood that, and he made the ultimate sacrifice, not only to heal some that were sick and to heal some that had problems and infirmities, but he made that ultimate sacrifice to heal us of our sins. and to allow us to be able to be reconciled with our Father in heaven. Now, it's unfortunate, but many of us have chronic infirmities that have no cure. They will be there until we die. And that's something that can be frustrating to some. Some have had chronic ailments since their birth. They've had these problems. I know I use glasses. You know, without them, I can't see good. I've had it since I was very tiny. And we have to learn to deal with these problems and move forward and not let them stop us from being able to serve our Father in heaven. Now, folks that have problems, chronic problems that they've always had, they've never known what it's like to not have this chronic ailment. I remember for me, when I had my LASIK surgery way back when in 2000, and I had these Coke bottle glasses, and I got them off, I was like, wow. You know, some folks don't ever get to experience that. They have that problem throughout their life and don't know what it's like. And so we must find a way to be able to overcome those troubles, those struggles, problems that come our way, difficulties, perhaps with our marriage, ailments that hurt us so bad. We must not let them affect us to the point to where we give up on God and give up on doing His work. Our dependency sometimes can help with our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus, our dependency to Him. And for example, some that have ailments and problems that are hurting them so bad, they help them, in a sense, to be more close, a closer relationship with the Father and the Son, because of those ailments, that need that we have to get the help that we need from Him, the spiritual help from His wisdom, through His Word. We rely on it, need it so bad that our relationship with Him is strengthened with that problem, that infirmity, the opposite of what other folks go through and say, well, I'm going to give up because I have this problem and it's too big. God can't handle it. I'm going to give up. No, we do the opposite. Others do what's correct. They get their relationship strengthened and not weakened by getting closer to God and His power. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3 reads, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And I mention this verse because we must understand that we have to rely on God. And some don't simply think that God exists. They don't rely on God because they don't see Him. And this verse is telling us that things that aren't seen are where we see, in a sense. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. We don't have to see how things work in order to believe they work at all. We don't have to see that. Sometimes it's nice to not have to understand exactly how gravity works. We don't have to understand how it works. We just know it works. We see the evidence of it working. The same with God. We don't have to physically see Him to understand that He exists. We see everything around us and understand that He does exist. And that's why we have our faith in Him, the all-powerful God. John chapter 14, verse 8 through 9 reads, John 14, verse 8 through 9, it reads, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Now, in this event, Philip asked Jesus to physically show him God. And today, we see a similar event. Our atheist friends sometimes say, well, I can't see God the Father. And they ask the same question, show me the Father and that'll be enough. Then I'll believe. We see the same thing happening today. But we have historical evidence, chronological prophecies that have been fulfilled and proven without a doubt. We have evidence. And the same thing is asked still with Philip, what Philip asked. They'll say to the Christian disciple today, show us the Father, and then we'll believe. And so, just like God chose to heal some people and He helped others, and the people that don't believe in Him because they don't see Him, they're not looking at the evidence that we have. They're disregarding the evidence that we have, and it's something that they can't refute. Just like God, He chose to heal some, He chose to help others. continue with their struggles. He did it for His reasons. He knows what's best. In fact, Romans chapter 9, verse 20 tells us we shouldn't question Him. Romans 9, 20 reads, "But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?'" As simple as that. God is our creator, and we obey our creator. And since God is our creator, we shouldn't hate our infirm bodies, our bodies that perhaps have arthritis or have problems with seeing good. We shouldn't hate our bodies. God made them. We should be grateful for what we do have. And not only grateful, but we should take advantage of what we do have and use it for His good works. Use it for His will and try and worship Him better, living to be a better servant to Him daily. We're to try and be stronger Christians day by day by studying His Word. And so, some of them that are upset about their infirmities and perhaps accusing God or just being upset and sad to a point, they have an impossible task of trying to worship God while they're hating their bodies, which were made by God Himself. So that's not worshiping God, that's accusing God. So how can they worship Him when they have that attitude? Now, some desperately seek an answer to the origin of their problem, their infirmity, even though the answer may not even be available to them, and may not be available to them throughout their whole lifetime that's left. And so, yes, we may need to know some of the problems of certain facts that come with the problems or infirmities that we have, but it's simply not relevant in some of the things that we need to know for a solution. We must ask ourselves, well, knowing the source of our trouble or infirmity, will it cure our problem? Many times it will not. Will it ease our burden if we know why we have that burden and that problem? Many times it will not. Will blaming someone or something for our infirmity or trouble alleviate our problem? Many times it will not. We sometimes see that many tend to blame themselves or blame other people for making a mistake, and they cause trouble and infirmity because of that blaming, in a sense. If we look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 reads, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." That's the Apostle Paul speaking here. The Apostle Paul, who thought of himself as the foremost of all sinners, can expect to be saved through Jesus Christ. And if he can expect this, why can't we expect to have that same grace through Jesus Christ that he can get by being obedient, by being servants of Him, by following His gospel? If we do not forgive ourselves, because sometimes folks don't want to forgive themselves for making a mistake. I know I have friends that have suffered problems. For example, drunk driving, getting into a problem. They know it's their fault, and they don't want to forgive themselves for the mistake after they've repented of that sin. And they hold that against themselves. And that's a problem that can hold them against being able to make it to heaven. And so if we do not forgive ourselves for making a mistake and allowing it to be a stumbling block, then it can also cause us to not be able to find that forgiveness of sins that we need to so desperately have. We should not ponder on finding someone to blame, or including ourselves even. We shouldn't ponder on that. No, we should change our entire view and attitude about that obstacle that's in our way. We should move on. We should move forward, pressing on again forward. If we look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. Philippians 3, verse 13 through 14 reads, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Brethren, if we are recognizing that we had committed a sin, we repented of that sin, and we want to move forward, we're not going to keep that sin from stopping us. We're going to remember so that we don't sin again the same way, but we're also going to remember that we can find forgiveness through Jesus Christ, just like the chief of sinners found forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We must face our problems and infirmities head on and live with them, struggling perhaps, but being able to go forward and not allowing them to stop us. We're not to be haunted by our struggles. We're to deal with them and press on towards the goal of that prize of the upward call, as mentioned there in that verse there. And so we have that particular chronic ailment. We have that problem, that difficulty, that struggle. Well, we're going to live with that problem. We're going to move forward and not let it stop us. We go from here and move on. We don't look back and ponder and stay there. We move forward. We press on. Job chapter 9, verse 22 reads, "It is all one. Therefore, I say, he destroys the guiltless and the wicked." Even though at some time or another, we'll all probably end up wondering, why me? Well, and just like Job was asking, why me? We must learn to move on. And even the righteous Job, he wondered, why me? And Job searched for answers there in Job 9:22. He was wondering why the just and the unjust were both destroyed there. And Job was confused and couldn't understand why the righteous should suffer. He wondered what many wonder today, why me? He had that question. Well, because we're alive, that's why. And later on we see that Job, he understood why God did what he did. Job understood that he was wrong to think that righteous people are not going to suffer in this life. Job recognized that this earth that we live in, it's not heaven. It's not always going to be perfect. No, we're going to have struggles. In fact, those struggles are our opportunities to be able to be strengthened as Christians, our opportunities to be able to rise to the level that Christ wants us to rise to learn, to be more mature and grow in our spiritual daily living. John chapter 9, verse 1 through 4 reads, this is Jesus, an account of Jesus. John chapter 9, verse 1 through 4 reads, "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work.'" Powerful words. Whether our life is with chronic ailments, with sicknesses, with constant troubles, whether we have all these problems in our lives, we are to work the works that God the Father has set in store for us without letting these problems, these infirmities stop us. Because night comes, that is today when we pass on, we will not be able to do these works anymore. And so, once we decide to strive to live with these infirmities or problems and not give up, then we're to understand that things won't just immediately be resolved overnight. No, the struggles will continue to come our way. Different struggles, different victories, different struggles that we have to endure, but we're to stay firm and faithful till the end for that prize, that hope of reward that we all seek, of course. So Christ is having a true relationship with us if we're to follow his will and his words. It's a way of life. As Christians, we don't just partake of the Lord's Supper and give of our means. We don't just pray and sing praises of worship to him. No, it's more to it than that. It's a way of life. A way of life. And we're to be living sermons to others around us as to how Christ would have his followers truly live. And wouldn't it be better to be a living sermon to those around us professing God's gospel instead of our struggles and sicknesses, our complaints, our discouraging problems? Our living sermon should be about Christ and the victory that we can have in him versus the defeats that we're thinking that we're going to go through in the future. So we can increase in our efforts to encourage others with God's word. We can even encourage ourselves with the good examples that we have there in God's word, with the others that we're able to overcome. We even have brethren here that we can see and seek towards their good examples of how they've overcome difficulties that came their way and stayed faithful and firm. And so despite these problems and infirmities, we can change the way that we see those problems and infirmities and take them in a way to where we can grow and be spiritually stronger by overcoming them, by withstanding them and not letting them stop us from doing God's will. Chronic sicknesses, a variety of problems that come our way, they can help us be stronger instead of weaker. One Bible verse that is good to remember with regards to perhaps dealing with the stress of these ailments, the stress of the problems that come our way, is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7 reads, "For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either." And it's good to remember that, because some worry about their material things that they can't be taken with them when they pass on. But also, those infirmities, many of those problems that we're struggling with, they can't be taken with us either when we pass on. And we have those hopes of rewards that we can look towards instead of the hopes of problems that we have right now. And so God's word reminds us that they'll not only be able to take those, they won't be able to take those material things with them. We won't be able to take those problems with us either, though. Problems like physical sicknesses, emotional stress, some of these stressful things, they can affect us even in church. They affect us in church with regards to how we worship our Father in heaven. And even though stress can come in a variety of ways, spiritually, perhaps emotionally, we can still tackle that problem and withstand it with God's help, of course. We can do this by surrounding ourselves with fellow Christians that are struggling for the same hope of reward. Folks that love us with regards to wanting the best with regards to our spiritual well-being. And here we are among them. We take advantage of that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, please. 2 Timothy 3:12, it reads, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And so we're not to be surprised when we're persecuted, trying to do God's work, perhaps trying to show the truth to our fellow workers or friends around us, and we're persecuted perhaps for it. We shouldn't be surprised if that's to happen, despite having persecutions come our way. We're to pray for our enemies. We show them God's way. And if they set to choose not to follow God's way, then that's between them and God. We do our part. John chapter 12, verse 47 through 48. John 12, 47 48 reads, "If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." And so as true followers of Christ's gospel, we have a responsibility to be obedient to it and share that hope of reward with others around us so that they can also take advantage of that hope of reward that we so much want. We must strive to not let problems and infirmities stop us from doing God's will. But many times we can see those hidden blessings in our problems and infirmities. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we see here that the Apostle Paul, he had a chronic infirmity. And although the Bible doesn't tell us the origin of this infirmity or the details of what exactly this infirmity was, it's described as a thorn in the flesh. And he could be strong, though, with that thorn in the flesh. He could be strong with Christ, even if his weakness was there. He could still be strong. But without Christ, he cannot be strong with his own physical attributes. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10 reads, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation of the revelations for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we can ask ourselves, why is it that a man would glorify himself over an infirm body, over that problem, that weakness, that they think that that's why they're strong, because of the weakness? But we see here the apostle's point. We must take note that although the apostle Paul was able to perform miracles there, he wasn't able to heal himself. And God didn't heal him either. He wasn't able to. Why? Because it wasn't in his best interest. He wouldn't have been able to do God's will as good as he would have if he would have healed him. 2 Corinthians 12:7 there says that God protected the apostle Paul from exalting himself, which would then be perhaps a stumbling block in a sense. And so he protected him by not granting the apostle Paul's desire of healing. And Paul simply was more profitable in God's service there with this thorn in the flesh that he had. Now, we must remember that God's grace is still sufficient for us today also. And just like the apostle Paul was content with God's answer to not heal him, we too must be content when we don't get what we want, what we think is best for us. The old song that Garth Brooks says is, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Well, in a sense, they are answered. They're just not answered the way we think they should be answered. God says, no, that's not what's best for you. I'm not going to give you that. And so we must be content with that. His grace is sufficient for us. So we must recognize that God always knows what's best for us. And the Apostle Paul is well content in having confirmed that he needs to have that infirmity along with his spiritual blessings. He would rather have this infirmity and the blessing instead of having that perfect health without the blessings. He recognizes what's more important, the blessings from God, his wisdom. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 reads, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. And so therefore we must remember to not allow our pride to stand in the way of what's right before God. Sometimes pride can stop us from being able to do God's will. So those chronic infirmities, those problems, they must not get in the way of our spiritual quest to be with God. No. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 reads, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And so there's a possibility that God responds to our prayers with a no. You can't have that. No, that's not in your best interest. And it's up to us to understand and be smart enough to know that God knows what's best for us. And if we pray for his will to be done, not for our will to be done, it will be better for us. It'll be more beneficial for us. We must ask ourselves what we're to do between now and that day of our passing. Some people ponder on, I'm so sick, I just want to just pass away and make it to heaven. I don't want to struggle anymore. I have so many problems, I could just go ahead and die and not have any more and make it to heaven. And their concentration is to be done with the struggle, be done with the infirmities and the problems. But we must ask ourselves, what are we going to do in between, in that dash in between? Are we going to be serving for God and doing his will? Or are we going to be complaining and being bitter and struggling with a poor attitude? Would God like this? I don't think he would like that. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4:31 teaches against being bitter. So if we're to be in pain and in struggles with problems and get bitter to the point of being bitter, God doesn't want that. He teaches against it in Ephesians 4:31. And Philippians chapter 2 verse 14 teaches against constant complaining. If we're going to have problems and struggles and constantly complain to others about them versus trying to pray and study God's word to overcome, to withstand. God doesn't want that attitude as well. We should do the opposite of this, complaining and being bitter. We should do the opposite. Why not take advantage of the life that God has given us? And we're borrowing it, of course. It's His. We're going to give it back in the end. Why not do His will in that dash, in that time that we're living? Do His will until the end. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 reads, "Therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We can pray for Him in that time of need and ask for His wisdom through His word to find grace and mercy. We can understand that just like parents sometimes realize that granting something to their children might not be in their best interest, the same thing is with God, our Father in heaven. He sometimes sees things that might not be in our best interest too and won't grant them to us because He knows what's best for us. And so, although there will be times when troubles and infirmities may make it impossible to make it to church, we're to always try to strive to be able to study God's Word. If we're not going to be at church, why not try and read the Bible instead of watching TV or what have you? If we're able to do that, of course. And so we try to meditate. Perhaps go to Him in prayer. Why not be praying for Him, praying for help from Him, instead of perhaps listening to a song or something in the radio or talk show? We can do things like this to stay focused on that narrow path. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 2 reads, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Two extremes. One that will focus on worldly things, and the other will focus on spiritual things, on pleasing God, on learning from His word and His will. How blessed we can be also in following His will. We even have fellow brethren around us that are doing their best to be faithful to His will. And we can see those good examples and follow them, and not only follow them, but be a good example ourselves. Be that living sermon so that we can help others find God. And finally, brethren, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8 reads, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." And so we dwell on these things. We dwell on the hopes of reward that God gives us. And so let's not dwell so much on those problems and infirmities to the point where we make them grow and we get discouraged ourselves. No, we can dwell on the hopes of reward, on the good things that God has given us so that we can overcome these struggles and be faithful till the end. We have a battle of overcoming these problems and infirmities on a regular basis. But with God's help, we can overcome them. And this evening, just like we had this morning, we have an opportunity for anyone wishing to make corrections in their lives, to be right with God, to be able to be counted as a true servant of Him. We invite you to come forward, make your petitions known as we stand and the invitation song is led.